Om Shanti and warm welcome everyone, and also to those who are watching, listening online. Lovely to have you here with us in Madhuban. Today's title, I'm sure you've never heard of it before. Are you feeling the title? Anyone remembers the title? Pre-Karmatit. Baba talks about Karmatit, and today Sister Judy is going to talk about pre-Karmatit, which is, I guess, where we all are. So Sister Judy is from Canada. She runs the center in Halifax. She's also part of the team that run all the activities in Canada. Sister Judy's been with Baba over 30 years, and she's one of the pioneers in experiential learning in the Brahma Kumaris. So that means learning in a different way through various different type of sensory or visual experiences. Something very unique that we've been experimenting with in the last few years. So thank you for being with us today, Judy Ben, and enjoy the session. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. How many of you have arrived in the last 2 days? Hands up. Oh, so many. How are you doing? You okay? You're grounded? The morning starts wet and cold, and now it's hot. Have you noticed? Yeah. And how many, who has come to Baba since COVID, during or since COVID? Show of hands. Okay, very few. These are our COVID babies. Welcome. And how many are first-timers to Madhuban? Wonderful. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Okay. So this is a workshop, which usually means we all sit together. But in Madhuban, it means someone's on the stage and you're there. So we'll work with that dynamic as best as possible. I have some small activities, experiences for you today, and that will make it experiential. So some of the experiences will do the teaching. You will learn from what you do, what you experiment with. And so some reflective moments throughout the session. Interesting title. You know, when Sona Ben asked, what title would you like? I said pre-Karmatit before really thinking about it. And then I had to think about it. So, but one of the inspirations actually was many years ago, I think I was a very new Brahmin, and there was a senior brother, more senior to me brother, who came into morning Murli class, and he announced, he said to the whole group, he said, I'm Karmatit. And of course we all laughed because we understand you can't be Karmatit and be here to say that, right? When we become Karmatit, it's our final moment. But so it made us all laugh. But it also made me, it just felt so empowered, the way he said it. And it was actually just to have the word Karmatit and I am in the same sentence. It's very empowering, you know, because it seems quite... So then I thought, well, actually, we are all pre-Karmatit at this point. So why don't I begin to think of myself as I am pre-Karmatit? And it actually made me feel really good to say that. Say it to yourself now, would you? I am pre-Karmatit. Again? I am pre-Karmatit. Okay, how does it feel? How does it feel? It feels Karmatit. Great. You know, there's something about that little word pre,
which it flies under the radar screen of the ego. So I am pre-karmatit somehow is much easier for the soul to accept and to enjoy. Because, you know, Baba, when he opened the confluence age so many years ago when he came, essentially what he did is he created a pathway of light for us to our karmatit stage. And that pathway of light he called the confluence age. But I can think of it as my pre-karmatit journey. Every step, every day, every second of remembrance and soul consciousness is moving me towards my karmatit stage. So it's an extended journey, the pre-karmatit, but it's its very own thing. It's its very own stage. So I thought we'd explore today, how far along are you on your pre-karmatit journey, with three indicators. And the three indicators actually are inspired by a class. Actually, it was a message that Daddy Gulzar brought to us, those of us who were at the NCCC retreat right before COVID. Now we call it integrated retreat. But how many here remember that? Daddy Gulzar came to the NCCC retreat and she had a message for us. And she said, before the end, there's just three things you have to pay attention to. Does anyone remember being there for that? Because I remember it being so, so simple, so subtle, and in our Brahman life of many, many different things to focus on, it felt like it gave me a landmark or like a GPS. These are the three things for me from now to my karmatit stage. And the three things were, she said, you have to have you have to have a powerful Amritvela. Number one, powerful Amritvela. The second thing she said was, you have to end all conflict in your relationships. All of your relationships now should be harmonious. Create harmony in all your relationships. But she said, end conflict in your relationships. That was number two. And number three, very practical, have 6 months of destruction supplies. 6 months of destruction supplies. Like food supplies to sustain you, your local family, for a period of 6 months. And I don't know how that sounds to you. Does that sound still relevant? 4 or 5 years later? Pretty relevant, hey? So that inspired me to think about the pre-karmatit stage with these three words. So the pre got a bit of an acronym for it. So power, relationships, and ever ready. Pre-karmatit. So this is what we're about now for the next few years. And I do this for my second language friends. It's always good to have a little visual. And also, I'm a flip chart kind of a gal. So there's my flip chart. So I'd like to explore each of those three with a couple of exercises for each this morning, if that's okay. How does that sound? Sound good? Yeah. Very simple, isn't it? Just three things. Powerful, Amritvela, all your relationships, harmony, and 6 months destruction supplies. Which is the easiest?
of those three?
Destruction, supply.
Okay. Which is the hardest? Conflict. Interesting, the middle one. So we will spend a little more time on the middle one, on the relationships, okay? And we'll spend a little less on the last one. So we all know what karmatit is, right? It is to be beyond the influence of karma, right? So I'm free from the effect of karma in three areas. One, past karma, that which went before, the karma of old times, karmatit. So anything from my past is settled. It's not influencing me in the form of moods. Even the conflict in my relationship is often karmic accounts from the past. My own compulsions or drives, things that take me off track. But I'm free from that. But I'm also free in the present moment from the effect of my own actions on myself. Those of us who still find it very satisfying to complete a to-do list, that lovely check mark, influenced by our karma, right? We're being satisfied by the actions we perform, right? Instead of being satisfied by my stage, by my experience of Baba in this moment. So the weaknesses in the present moment that maybe control me and the dependencies in the present moment, we understand, created in the past, experience now. Yeah? And then the third, the influence of other people's karma. So what people do doesn't affect me. What they don't do doesn't affect me. What they say doesn't affect me. And even a negative thought they have towards me doesn't affect me. Right? And we know that the time of, you know, energies coming our way that we cannot see but could still affect us, we would not be affected by that. So it's big, being karmatit, right? And we know, and every day, in every way, the efforts we make are helping us achieve that, right? With Baba's help and guidance and power and support and grace. So we cannot be karmatit until it's time. In fact, we don't want to be karmatit until it's time, unless we want to go into a baby's body and help Baba in that way, which Nirwarbhai will soon be doing, and many others. It's a wonderful part to play. We know we'll all be karmatit when it's our time. So before then, though, we've got these three things to pay attention to. So I thought I would take up the power one to start. So power, and especially at Amritvela, we know that all day, anything we do to follow Srimat, our study, performing pure karma through seva, right, yoga, practicing soul consciousness, all of this is our way to accumulate power, right? So we know we're accumulating power all the time. And Amritvela, for many Brahmins, is, we say in English, like the Holy Grail. It's like it's the one that if you could really, on a consistent day after day after day basis, if that could be a powerful experience, you get so much power. And for many Brahmins, it's a sleepy time. It's a time where maybe I'm forcing myself. Baba once called us lords of discipline at Amritvela because he saw how we forced ourselves to go and sit. And for some, it's a beautiful love-in
with God. But for many, the karmic account of puja, many, many years of puja and getting up earlier than we wanted, makes us a bit grumpy at Amritvela time. So it's sort of the moment, the most important moment of the day. But the power we're getting all the time through everything we're doing to follow Srimad. So I'd like to explore power for a moment in an experiential way. And so this little experience will mean putting your papers down in your bags for a moment and freeing yourself to be able to stand. And some of you have done this before. No, stay sitting for now, please. But some of you will have done this before, but I'm going to use this for a different reason today. So this little tiny exercise involves you standing up and sitting down three times. That's it. You're going to stand up and sit at your own pace. Go. Okay, thank you for being so cooperative. Now we're going to do this again, but this time, before you stand up, in your mind, silently, I'll invite you to say to yourself, I choose to stand. And then before you sit down, silently in your mind, say to yourself, I choose to sit. And make that choice six times, three up, three down, but each time to stand, sit. Okay? At your own pace, here we go. Okay, thank you. So what did you notice the first time we did it and the second time? What was the difference? Slower? God guided you a bit the second time? Mindful the second time? Acceptance the second time? That's interesting. Okay. Assertive? Controlled, self-controlled, second time. Were you soul conscious the first time? I'm a soul. Yeah, lovely, Michelle. So there wasn't much difference between time one and time two. For you. Little bit, okay, great. Mastery, second time, yeah. So just in terms of the whole group, we moved at quite a different pace the second time, didn't we? Some were still up and down, and some were finished early. We went at a different pace, each one maybe a little more individual. And when you think about it, what made you move the first time round? Why were you moving the first time? What was the energy that made you move? Just cooperation, being kind with me. Thank you. Yeah, maybe a little bit of peer pressure. Maybe not pressure, but, you know, conforming in a group kind of way. You know how we follow the group? Oh, this is what we're doing now? Yeah. Yeah. And the second time, what made you move? You did. Right? The soul did. So in that moment that you chose, you activated the will of the soul. And that's power. Right? The first time, I'm going to suggest it was force. Even if you weren't very forceful with yourself, the first time, unless you were soul conscious, if you were even a little bit body conscious, you would have been having to apply force, using the physics word, force, apply energy to the matter of your body to get it to stand, and then to get it to sit, and to get it to stand. So force is very different than power. It was soul power that moved the body the second time. When we're body conscious, we use force. And we use force in more and more subtle ways, but it's still force. Getting myself to do something is force. That's not power. So in our pre-karmateet stage, how much more am I using power, spiritual power, to move me along? Force, body conscious, force. That's the general question for you. But I'm going to give you a couple of dimensions to consider. So for instance, let's use the word should. How many times a day do we say should to ourselves? I should do this. Even in the Murli, when Baba says you should, how many of us feel force? You know, and how many of us translate that to, I would like to. Yeah. So, should is a force word. Choose is a power word. I choose. So you can think about the places. Oh, I forgot my markers. Oh, dear, I'm going to need my markers. I will need help. Vijay, it's in my purse right there in my bag. You should see about 3 markers there. Thank you. No, inside the big bag, thank you. And dig deep, take everything out, it's okay. Yep, there you go. The whole Mary Poppins purse has been emptied. That's it, thank you. So, should would be on the force end, and choose would be on the power end. I've got some more of these, and maybe you do too, I'm not sure. Thank you so much. Thank you. So I'm going to write choose for me as a power expression of the forceful word shoot. Let's use another one just for example because it happens a lot. And today's Avyakt point was master child. Be a master, then be a child. So how much am I still using the energy of somebody, of my idea, my point of view, my suggestion, even convincing myself, is force? What would be the power expression? If I was using power instead, what would it be? Soul power? Convince, what would it be? Suggest? Accept? Could be any of those, hey? Very different than convince. And convince is just an energy. You can be doing it very, very quietly. It's still an energy, a force. Right? Another one. How about blame? Very force energy, either towards self or towards other. What would be the power energy we would use instead? Instead of blame, responsible, self-accountable, yeah, responsible or accountable. Very different than blame, right? Very different energy. Feels very different inside. Let me give you one more. How about irritated or frustrated? That's force, energy. What would be the power expression? Tolerate, accept, accommodate, yes, all of those. Wonderful. Different, right? So I'm going to invite you to see if you can make 2 word pairs that are relevant for you right now in your life. So one of them is over here in the force department, where you are still somehow using the energy of force to get yourself or others to do things, to cooperate, and then find a power word which would be better. Okay, everyone just take a minute on your own and find two word pairs that are relevant for you right now in your pre-karmateet journey. So words that are force that you would like to translate or you're currently translating to power. So maybe one of these is relevant for you, and if it is, then just mark how far along this journey are you from should to choose. Think about your Brahman life right now and how you are living it. And if another one is relevant for you, make your own word pair, okay? So another couple of minutes to think about that. If these are relevant, then look at how far are you from this to this. Right now, in your Brahman life, or create a new one for yourself. Okay, and turn to someone sitting next to you and just share any kind of insight, any thought you have about this from force to power. In your own journey. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. So how many of you are seeing in your pre-karmateet journey that you are moving from force to power more? How many of you are seeing the journey towards power? And we know from the experience of our daddies, and we definitely know from Brahma Baba's example and Mama's example, that the most powerful souls are completely nonviolent. Right? So no force. Even forcing the body. Not forcing others, not forcing thoughts, not forcing action. There's just no force. It's just the energy of God's power and soul conscious peace. Peace. Love. So, let's move on to relationship, shall we? That was power. Powerful Amritvela. So many classes on how to have a powerful Amritvela. I won't be doing that here, but the power part was her real emphasis, was to really get power at Amritvela. So let's look at relationships now. Oh, Michelle, go ahead. Would you consider what as violence? The ego. Would we consider ego violence? I would say yes. We are not karmateet. But we are pre-karmateet, Michelle. That's the good news. We're pre-karmateet. Would you agree with me? Ego is violence? Of course, yeah. Okay, so let's look at relationships now. So she said, finish all conflict and create harmony in your relationships. We've done many conflict resolution, creating harmony sessions here. And many of you know that I work professionally in the field of organizational development. And as a consultant, mostly I'm invited to help organizations get along better. People get along better so that they can be more productive and constructive and effective. So I spend a lot of time with groups that are in conflict. And since coming to Baba, there's actually only Baba can teach us this one secret of harmony. that nowhere else in the world do people know about, or could they use to create harmony in relationships. So I'd like to experiment with this. Mirta, I'm going to need your help because your voice is strong, okay? But we're going to do a fun little harmony thing here, okay? So everyone sitting from Mirta over will be one group. Okay, all those voices on this side will go together. All the sisters sitting in this middle part over here are the second group, and everyone else is the third group. This is incredibly daring, but I think it's going to be wonderful. We're going to sing Om, but we're going to sing it in three different notes. Okay? And we're just going to see how harmony works. So, over here, we're going to start with Om. Join me. Om. Om. We might need a few more loud voices over there. Can anyone help? Om. Om. Continue, please. Om. This group's going to go Om. 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 Keep going, keep going. Okay, there were moments there where it sounded really nice. Did you hear those moments? Did you catch those moments where it sounded really nice in harmony? Okay. Okay. So the secret of harmony that only Baba knows, it only works if we all sing our own note. It doesn't work if I drift over and start singing someone else's note, because then there's no harmony. This section isn't heard, right? Harmony only works if I sing my own note. So the best harmony involves singers who can hold a note even when someone else is singing a loud note with them. So what does it take to sing our own note? Even in this little exercise, it wasn't so easy, was it, to keep our own note when others were singing? Well, this is a very good metaphor for harmony in relationships. Everybody, every soul is out there singing their own note all day long. Or they're singing Ravan's note. But my job is to keep my note. One, do I know my own note? Do I know what my vibration feels like? Of course I do. Of course I do. And then can I hold that note while others are singing different notes in front of me? That's the only way harmony can be created. Only Baba teaches this to us. In the Laukic world, they're trying to create harmony by getting people to talk together. They're doing interpersonal. Try and understand this one. Try and understand this one. See what they're doing. I mean, it's useful stuff, but it's not sustainable if I'm not able to hold my own note. Baba teaches us, be soul conscious. Remember me. Play your part. Play your part with dignity, with self-respect. Hold your note. Just hold your note. And then there will be harmony, because no one else can sing your note, and you can't sing anyone else's note. So therein lies the simple secret to creating harmony in our relationships. Simple? Not so simple, of course, to hold my own note, because I get triggered. Some part of me that is not healed that is wounded, that is still a bit sensitive, you know, not whole, gets triggered and I react, I lose my note, right? Or something I do causes that in someone else, and then I have to deal with that, right? So all these situations that arise and all these relationships, we know intellectually are for our benefit. There's something for me to learn. But we have to practice that every day in every way in order to come to my own note and then create harmony. It takes time. Right? It takes time for me to play my own note consistently long enough so that the dynamic changes, right? But I'm not focused on the other person. I guess that's the benefit of Baba's wisdom. So I'm not focused on the other person. But of course, on a daily basis, I'm either over-focused on someone else or they're over-focused on me. I'm either taking someone else's energy into me or I'm invading someone else's energy field. It's basically the dance of relationships. And we just want to play our own notes. You play your note, I play my note, in close proximity to each other, and there will be harmony. Because we are all tuned in to Baba. So there will be harmony. Yeah? So I'd like to do a little exercise to explore this. You'll all need a piece of paper that has a circle in the middle. So a clean page, if you can, would be very helpful. And in the center, I'd like you just to do a little circle, as I have here. And inside that circle, first of all, I'd like you just to think about those relationships right now in your Brahman life that are harmonious. Just bring them to mind. Okay, there might be many, many, many. And isn't that a great fortune? Many, many, many. And isn't that a tribute to the effort you're making with your own dharana, your own self-responsibility? So just think of all those relationships in your life that are harmonious. And then think of those that are not. And hopefully the list is shorter. Yeah? Hopefully. Hopefully there's three or four. One. Hopefully it's a short list, okay? So on your page, though, I'm going to ask you to put a circle in the middle, and inside that circle, what it says for me is relationships with X. So these are the relationships that are not harmonious. Just put that at the center of your page. A circle, and in it, write the words, relationships that are not harmonious yet. Yet. Okay, that's it. So we're just going to label it as all of them, however many, no names, just all those relationships in my life that are not yet harmonious, okay? And then around, oh, and then put yourself down here at the bottom of the page. So this is J for Judy. Do a little circle here and put your name, your letter, in that circle. So I'm over here and I'm going to observe this situation. Then around that circle, I'm going to ask you to draw a bunch of circles. And these might be the people that are involved somehow in these non-harmonious relationships. So that might include the people, those souls directly with whom you are not having harmony right now. Just put a letter. Don't put their whole name, but just put a letter for them. But it also includes the other people involved in your situation. So they could be other family members who are affected by the non-harmony in your relationship. Okay? So there could be a bunch of circles, there could be a few circles, but just quickly put down a bunch of circles with those people with whom you're not, I'm not going to put letters on mine, I'm just going to put X, because it's so public. But I know who I'm thinking of. But you can put letters on yours. There aren't many, really. But add the other people who are also around you, kind of in the situation. Okay, so that could be others at the center. If it's in your family where you live, maybe, Lakic family, you might put those others who are involved. And there might be some a little further away. They're kind of involved, but not much. They're not so directly involved. And you can put some circles a little further from the center as well. Okay? And even if you just have one non-harmony relationship with others, guaranteed it affects many. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Because you're powerful souls. So it would affect. Okay? So now what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to draw some arrows. And these arrows are going in the direction of, let's say this soul here is directly contributing to the disharmony. And then let's say this soul is actually being affected by the situation. So arrow from the situation to the people who are being affected by this conflict. Okay? And arrows from the person, the other soul, into the situation because they're adding to the conflict through their reactions, their behaviors. And of course, they're also being affected. So probably both ways. But just take a little bit of time and map out some arrows. And souls might be affecting each other. So arrows can go in many directions. Just take a couple moments and map out the effect of conflict, the vibrational effect in your little gathering of souls where you live and serve, okay? And this is private. You're not going to share this with anyone. You're going to fold this up afterwards. Okay? So just spend 2 minutes yourself putting arrows. Who is affected by the situation and who is contributing, making it more conflicting. Okay? So 2 minutes alone just to do that. And no arrow to yourself. Yourself is a detached observer watching. Okay? Okay, have you got a bit of a map? You got a bunch of arrows going in many directions? It's a bit of a mess, really, isn't it? Yeah, that's okay. All right, and right now, this is a big moment. I'm going to invite you to take every single arrow you have drawn and redirect it to you in the corner. Every single arrow you've drawn, redirect it to you. It's going to start to look like this, your page. So make sure you catch every arrow so maximum effect is felt. So does your page look anything like this? A little bit? Yeah, okay. So all of the arrows coming to you, every single arrow. Have you done that? Okay, how does it feel? Horrible, right? Horrible. So when we're in blame consciousness, including self-blame consciousness, it feels horrible. But Baba tells us that every soul is an actor, and they're all playing their part, right? And we know that drama is a wonderful school for us, that our spiritual journey is a school. Every day and every way we are learning. Every situation that arises is a benefit to us to help us learn something. So I'm going to suggest that the best way to create harmony in all of my relationships is an attitude of humility and an attitude of learning. And so to look at this situation that's happening, and for a minute we'll sit in silence, and we'll ask Baba, we'll ask the self, what virtue or power or wisdom is this situation helping me learn? Why did all of these souls get together? They all get together and stage this incredible scene in the drama in order to help me learn something. What is that? What is it that I can learn? What is this situation specifically customized to help me learn? So I'm going to invite you to sit in silence for just a moment during traffic control and ask yourself, what virtue, power, or wisdom is this helping me learn? Who had an insight into what the learning is? Who had insight into what the learning is for you, the gift of this messy situation? The virtue, the power, the wisdom. Okay. Okay, that's power. That's power you've claimed from that situation. And now you just need to remember that's what you're learning. That's what you're learning. Polish those virtues. Polish the power. Polish the wisdom. Drama is so benevolent, it will give you another opportunity to practice if you don't get it now. But you will get it now because you'd like to get it now. If you did not have insight into what's the lesson, what's the virtue, the power, the wisdom for you to be learning from these conflictive relationships, this situation, then continue to ask that question, especially here in Madhuban. It takes the blame off the other. It takes the energy away from thinking about the other. It puts it in you with Baba, understanding, clarity, power. Move forward. Okay? It frees you from getting caught in the web. Is that clear? Clear? Okay? A bit messy, I know, but it has to be done. If we want to create harmony in our relationships, we have to sing our own note. And what we're learning, the virtue or the power that this mess is helping me develop, is actually my note stronger. So I can hold it better. These virtues and powers are needed to help me stay in my own vibration. Yeah? Clear? Okay. I'd like us to do a little 7 minute, maybe five. Suresh Bhai will do 5 minutes for us. But maybe I should do this one first. No, I'm going to do... I think I'm going to do this first. While we're on relationships, thank you. I'm going to play this. Suresh Bhai is going to play this beautiful song. Some of you may know it. It comes from the Ho'oponopono people from Hawaii. How many of you know that four-step process? Very beautiful. It's basically, and this is like a mantra song. Sometimes we put it on and just play it as a meditation, and we just sit for 7 minutes. But the four words are, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. And the 7 minutes is long enough with this repeating that you could be saying those words in your mind with Baba, sit with Baba, and then say the words. You may be saying that to some of these little circles on your chart. You may be saying it to those people affected. You may be saying it to those people directly with whom you have some conflict. You may say it to yourself. I'm sorry I lost my dignity in that moment. Please forgive me. You may be saying, I'm sorry to Baba. Baba, I'm sorry I keep losing it in this situation. Baba forgives us anyway, so no point to ask for forgiveness, but it's very cleansing, it's very healing, and what it does is it puts you in an attitude of humility and gratitude. And the last one, I love you, is just so sweet. So if you can say this to the people you are, souls you're directly in conflict with, it's a huge shift in your own energy, which shifts the relationship. With yourself, forgive yourself for the mistakes. Again, a lot of self-love flows. which softens your energy. Okay? So is that okay to do that? Well, just listen to this for the next probably five minutes. It might go right to the end. We'll see how we're doing. And let's just use this time to create harmony in our relationships using our primary tool of mansa seva, good wishes and pure feelings, because talk is not so helpful anymore. Have you noticed? That energy, change of my energy, very helpful. So, here we... Oh. You will hear it in the mantra. It will repeat again and again and again, and you will know it from heart. Okay, so here we go. Thank you, Suresh. Bye.
Please forgive me and thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please.
Yeah.
Beautiful song, isn't it? Yeah, very nice little meditation for self, anytime, any place. If there were some tears, then you know release is happening, which is good news. And so maybe you could experiment with that while you're here. Creating harmony in relationships happens first, of course, when my energy shifts towards myself, towards the other. So, and the last one, because we're ending now, is the ever ready. And so the pre-karmatit, power, relationships, and ever ready, pre. And the ever ready, Daddy Gulzar had said, 6 months of food supplies in the center. But I would like to take it a little further than that. And the ever ready is not just physical, but ever ready in my mind. And it's actually a sanskara that we develop by practicing. You know, the just do it now. So when Baba says something, do it now. When I hear the news, right now I respond with Mansa Seva, good wishes, right? I don't say, oh, for World Meditation Hour, let's spend an hour sending good wishes to this place. You know, first news I hear, oh, somebody cuts me off in traffic, first thing I do is blessings to you, right? Good wishes, right? Somebody yells at me, Daddy Kumarka's famous story of somebody yelling at her and going on, and she was just silent and asked afterwards, she said, well, what were you doing, Daddy? You didn't say anything. And she said, I was watching my mind. Well, that person was getting angry and making sure she was giving good wishes. So are we instantaneously giving good wishes? Or is there a delay? That's the ever-readiness. And although Daddy Gulzar spoke about the physical, I've been practicing a lot and thinking a lot about how ready we have to be. So we hear news of a bomb landing somewhere. What is the first instinct? Good wishes to those that are hurt and good wishes to those who sent the bomb. Both. Instantly. All of them are trapped in the drama. All of them are trapped, right, in Robin's energy. Right? We hear of a flood somewhere, first thing, not, oh no, instead, first thing, good wishes, Florida, like that, right? The ever ready we need to be at this time, physical and spiritual, ever ready. So I think it's lunchtime, and I think I'm supposed to end there. So I'm just going to do a quick reminder. So we got it, we got the P, the R, and the E for pre-karmatit on our journey. Pre-karmatit. Power, relationships, and ever ready. Om Shanti.